section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
A special episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by Aaron Hughes, Doug Hunt, and Roger Cave for this special episode about SummerSlam 2017. So let's get right into the matches. We have the King of the Cruiserweights versus Tozawa for the Cruiserweight title. Now, Roger, what do you think about this match?
Well, this plays into a larger theme of WWE not understanding the big moments. Much like Bayley ended Charlotte's undefeated pay-per-view streak at Fastlane, or Strowman losing his streak at Fastlane, Neville lost the championship that he has been dominating since January last night on Raw. So this is a rematch. This isn't even the original one. This isn't Tozawa's big moment at SummerSlam. I think Tozawa retains because a hot shot would be stupid. But it's a wasted opportunity. This should have been a big moment. This should have been a SummerSlam moment. This should be something that Titus Worldwide celebrates at SummerSlam, and they basically killed it by doing basically an unannounced title match on Raw. Like, absolute mistake, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought the build-up to this was horrible. I just was watching Raw, and all of a sudden, they're like, hey, he's going to defend it tonight. I'm like, why do they wait? And what I really thought they were doing is they were actually going to wait to do this, but it's still really weird. But I'm happy for Tozawa that he won, but if they hot-shot this back to him, I'm going to be ticked. Because what's the point then?
I do think we may get a title swap in the sense of I think they may be leading towards a doping angle. They mentioned about how his shoulder healed very quickly. He put that hyperbaric chamber. So I wouldn't be surprised if next Monday on Raw, Neville comes out and says that Tozawa had a failed drug test. Therefore, he was ineligible to compete on Monday. And the championship reverts back to him like a long-term dusty finish.
Oh, my gosh. If they did that, that would be ridiculous. Seriously, that would be ridiculous. But you know what? It's WWE. So there's a chance that that may happen. It'll be very intriguing to find out what they do with this. But overall, I think Tozawa will retain in this one. What do you think, Roger?
I'm also going to go Tozawa retains.
I agree with everything that Roger and you guys have said. Tozawa retains.
Yep, and I'm on the same page.
All right. So, Aaron, what do you think about the Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt match?
Well, very similar to what you guys had said, they gave away this match for free on Raw this past week. The only difference is after the match, Bray Wyatt poured some red paint on him, and then Finn Balor came out and said, you know what? You want the demon? I'm going to unleash the demon. So in a way, it was kind of a nice setup. It was a way better setup than the Cruiserweight one for sure. And I'm a little intrigued by this. I am growing tired of what they've done with Bray Wyatt. You know, it's appear, attack, and, you know, interfere in the match. And then you have a feud for 3 months and then he does the same thing over and over again. So I'm getting a little tired of that. However, I think that these two could bring out the best in each other, especially on the main stage. And so right now, if I have to pick, I'm going to pick Finn to win. What about you, Doug? What do you think?
I agree. I have no problem with the match going on before SummerSlam. My only issue is I wish it would have been a couple weeks ago. And then you can tease the demon showing up. Like, this should have been maybe a feud in the past pay-per-view where Finn loses at the last pay-per-view, and now all of a sudden he's got to bring out the demon in order to face Bray Wyatt. But him referring back to the demon, Finn will win, and it'll be an interesting going forward.
For this one, I'm actually going to pick that Finn does beat Bray Wyatt here.
Right. Bray Wyatt's motto is arrive, attack, job. He's arrived. He's attacked. It's time to job on pay-per-view. I go Finn Balor.
And Aaron?
Yep, and Finn Legacy.
Yeah, we're all taking Finn.
All right, so we've all picked the same person so far. So let's move on to Big Show versus Big Cass. Now, the only reason I even want to talk about this is because another shark cage. How many times do we have to see the shark cage? Did they not sell enough of merchandise on this? I just don't get it. I just completely do not get it. But in this case, I'm just going to say it. I think Big Cass will definitely win. Big Show's going to put him over. Roger?
I will be going to get any sort of refreshments and or food at this point because I don't care about this match. And if Big Show wins, this is stupid. Big Cass should win. I don't understand why Enzo is in the top since he's not a threat to Big Cass. And yeah, the less said about this, the better.
I'm actually going to also pick Big Cass, but I'm going to say in a surprise turn, Enzo helps out Cass win.
Interesting. I am going to sweep it. We're 3-for-3 so far, so Big Cass is my choice.
All right, so let's move on to John Cena versus Baron Corbin. Roger, who's going to – what do you think about this match?
I originally would have said Baron Corbin is going over. I'm going to change my pick and say I think Cena's winning. I think Corbin may be getting reduced from the spotlight. I think the match will be okay. I don't think Cena is good enough to carry Corbin to anything over 3 stars. I don't expect this match to actually go very long. I would say this match could be done in maybe 7 minutes. And I'm going to say Cena wins.
with knowledge that they've already even announced that John Cena is going to show up on the Raw after SummerSlam, he's going to be joining a different brand. And so this is going to be the end of it. He's not going to job for Baron Corbin. I think it would have been a good time for him to lose to Baron Corbin. But after what just happened on SmackDown, I think this is going to continue the burial of Baron Corbin. So my pick is John Cena. Who do you have, Aaron?
Yeah, and very similarly, I would have probably picked Baron Corbin if we recorded this a couple days ago. I think I was leaning towards that. However, though, given what you had said, I don't see any other option other than Cena. I mean, like, this to me is an 80-20 split. You know, I will be very shocked if Baron Corbin wins.
I'm going to say John Cena wins, but I think it's actually going to be because Baron Corbin gets DQ'd. Because that would make sense because he went off at the end of SmackDown, and I would have too, because who booked it? I mean, you wasted an entire pay-per-view on that 5 seconds. Anyways, so moving on to the Shield reunion without Roman Reigns, thank goodness. And then they're going against Cesaro and Sheamus for the Raw tag titles. Now, my problem right off the bat, why aren't the Hardys in this match? I just don't understand why they are not. But, oh well. So, Aaron, let's start off with you. What are your thoughts about this match?
I actually have liked, and I think I said on the last show, one of the things I've enjoyed on Raw, other than the main event scene, has been what they've been doing with the limited number of tag teams they have, in particular this, with the Shield and Cesaro and Sheamus. I've enjoyed kind of some of the teases, and then finally when they came together, it was a really cool moment. I think that this is a really great opportunity here to see what the Shield reunion, two people reuniting, what that could actually do for sales, what that could do potentially for ticket sales, merch, all that stuff. I think that this is a really good opportunity, though, also for WWE to give Seth and Dean some love, because right now they're not in the main event spotlight, and they should be. So instead of putting them in the actual main event, they can put them in the tag team main event. Right now, I got to make a choice. I'm going to actually pick the Shield to win. I'm going to pick Ambrose and Rollins to get the titles right off the bat.
I agree. The Shield's going to win this one. It's actually kind of interesting that both these teams have come together due to differences between each other and fights between each other, then forming a team to become the unstoppable force. Not necessarily a mega power, but like Aaron said, these two, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, both deserve to be in the main event scene, but it's kind of crowded in there, so they do need to be pushed. They need to be still relevant and everything. And the tag team champions is a way to do it. It also can lead to further friendship demolishing for Roger when Dean Ambrose eventually turns on Seth Rollins down the road.
Trust issues. Well, we have our first difference of opinion, because I do not think this feud is over. And I don't necessarily know that you want Ambrose and Rollins getting those titles right now. I'm actually going to take the bar. I'm going to say that a miscommunication, I think it'll be an honest miscommunication, but I think a miscommunication is going to cost the Shield the match. The one thing I will say is that I could see the Shield winning only because there's not a lot of face tag teams, but I don't think long-term the plan is to keep those two together. And I think you help Cesaro and Sheamus by having them go over two former WWE champions, as opposed to giving the Shield essentially the championship back and then who they feud with, the club? Come on now. The Revival is still hurt. And so, I think you go with Cesaro Sheamus here and maybe Ambrose and Rollins, bond over this loss and get better later. Or because friends just can't be friends, they're just, Ambrose is going to turn on Rollins because trust issues.
Yeah, I actually agree with Roger in this case, because I just don't see a reason why the Shield's going to win the tag titles. To me, it doesn't make sense. I think that what will end up happening is that, yes, Dean does turn on Rollins. I believe that will happen here, because he's going to say payback, so, you know. But that's what I strongly feel will happen, so I guess we're going to be different on this one. But other than that, you know, going over to, besides this match, there's another tag titles. There are so many of them now. But we have the Usos versus the New Day, and that's for the SmackDown tag titles. Now, for this, I'm really excited about this match, because Usos have been tearing it up. The New Day have been tearing it up, and they're just gelling really well in the ring. And I think that this will not be a spot fest, but it'll be paced properly, because there's sometimes people will just dive. I believe there'll be like a dive when it's appropriate. They'll have some good ring wrestling, and then it'll be the same thing. But when it's all said and done, I do not see the Usos retaining here. I do see the New Day, or the Usos winning the title. I do see the New Day retaining here. Doug?
Have they announced yet who's going to fight for the New Day?
They never do.
I don't think so, no.
I didn't think they did either. But either way, it's still going to be very, very interesting. Watching this live at Payback was a great match. Excellent match. The finish was just, you know, silly with the Usos walking off. The New Day finally winning the championships. I do not see them losing the championships here. So I'm going to say the New Day retains. But overall, yes, this has the potential for being one of the matches of the night. These guys have put on a great program. It would be a great way to finish off the feud with New Day finally coming over and retaining and then going on to somebody else.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat, actually. I have the New Day winning. I'd be surprised if they hotshotted it back, but out of all the titles that they could do, I could potentially see this one as being a hotshot back, but, you know, if I got to make a pick right now, I'm picking New Day.
I also pick New Day, but I wouldn't say this is anything more than 55-45. Like, I could 100% see the Usos winning this back, and I wouldn't be that mad about it. They've had a great feud, and their matches were good, so I'm looking forward to this. I think New Day wins, but I think it's close. And I like that. I'm not saying that is a bad thing at all.
All right. So let's talk about the Raw women's title. We have Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. Now, Roger, what are your thoughts on the match?
So I like Bayley. I've always liked Bayley. I've pounded the table for her and said she's good. But this is the match they should have initially done. You already jobbed Bayley out to Alexa with that stupid segment about her not being willing to be extreme. Sasha Banks logically should have been the challenger. She should have beaten Bayley on Raw. She should have been the number contender. And so while I'm very sad that Bayley got hurt, this opens up the door for what should be right. Sasha needs to win here. She is the face of the division, in my opinion. She is probably the best wrestler that they have on Raw. Having said that, I suspect Alexa will retain. The reason being is that if you were going to give the title to Sasha, you would have had her win the number one contendership in the first place. So in my opinion, Alexa Bliss retains. I could see Sasha winning by DQ again. I could see a Nia Jax interference spot again. I think this should have been a triple threat, but I think Alexa finds a way to win this one.
I totally agree with what Roger had said. And I also picked Alexa Bliss to win. But the reason I picked her is because she is, I want to say it's like 6 or 7 days away from becoming the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion. So, you know that they're going to run with something like that, you know, and she can break the record. So she's going to go ahead and talk about it nonstop. And it's not like it's that long, you know, it's like 130 days or something like that. So she can go and pound the fist on the table and talk about that nonstop. So, and I definitely agree with what Roger had said. So yeah, my pick is Alexa Bliss as well.
I reserve my right to always pick Alexa Bliss, because there shouldn't be anybody else but the little princess as the Raw champion.
Aaron, just sweep it. So I pick Alexa Bliss as well, because I think that there's going to be some tomfoolery here with Bayley showing up against Nia Jax, and you know, it's going to be messed up. The Natalia versus Naomi for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Now, this one I'm really looking forward to, because two of my favorite female wrestlers, Naomi and Natalia, are going at it, and I believe that it's going to be a great match. I think that they will basically, that if Sasha Banks was in this match, it would even be better, but she's not. She's on the other brand. But this match itself is going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to see what they're going to bring to the table and how much time they're going to give him. Cause I think that if they gave him 15 minutes, they could probably shock everyone there. And plus with it being Brooklyn, they are not going to say boring, which will be nice, but overall this match will be good. I will definitely lock it in that Natalya will actually win on this one.
I have Naomi. I have her retaining. Although I originally was going to have a cash in here, but I think given what happened on Tuesday, I don't know if I can. It's WWE, so they probably will, but it wouldn't be smart to have two cash ins in 5 days, in my opinion. So I think Naomi is just going to retain here, and then there's going to be a cash in, you know, within a month or so.
To Aaron's point, it wouldn't be smart. It also wouldn't be smart to put your title on a jobber. I think Carmella wins, and that is my prediction. I don't think Naomi or Natalya will end up walking away. The unfortunate thing is while I do agree with Andy that they're two pretty talented wrestlers, I'm not the biggest fan of Naomi's offense. I think she can be a little hokey with her stuff. The crowd isn't going to care. I see this being the SmackDown equivalent of Big Cass versus Big Show. I think they're going to be very bored. I think they're going to be very quiet. And I suspect this match gets 5 minutes before the cash in. I see this being one of those. And I wouldn't be surprised if it got bumped. There's not a lot in this. These characters have not been built up well. Natty has been mostly the veteran jobber. I hope they surprise me, but I'll be stunned if they get more than 5 minutes. I mean, I think they got, 5 minutes at WrestleMania, bell to bell?
Something like that.
Yeah, so this isn't going to be any different.
So, Andy, you went with Natalya. Aaron, you went with Naomi. Roger's going with Carmella. So I guess I get to be the overall majority person on this one, whoever I pick, and I'm going to go with Naomi. I think this will be, like Roger said, this could even be bumped to next SmackDown or anything like that, and I don't think anybody would miss it. The only thing is with – I was thinking that Carmella would cash in, but now after everything that happened on Tuesday and the fact that she's been kind of – going out and about and everything like that. I do not think Carmella will cash in tonight or on SummerSlam. It will be teased, but it will not be cashed in, and Naomi will retain and start a feud with somebody else.
Actually, no, I think what really happened is that Carmella will torment Natalya after she wins it constantly over and over again, especially when they have the rematch at the whatever the next pay-per-view is that'll probably be in a week.
Right.
Moving on to Randy Orton versus Rusev. Now this match, I just don't care about it. I really don't. Doug, I'll let you talk about it.
I don't see why. And this is another match that I think it just got thrown together as Orton needed somebody to wrestle. Orton is a big name. You need him at your second biggest event of the year. You have him just coming off of three losses to Jinder Mahal. And so this is not going to be very, very good. This is going to be Randy Orton's revenge, or this is the hello, welcome back. You know, here's your, you know, thanks for participating award. You had Cena just beat Rusev. I think we talked about this before. Who gets John Cena's sloppy seconds? Randy Orton. So here we find this match as a kind of a throw together match. And I hate it because I like Randy Orton. I'm not going to say he's a great wrestler or anything like that, but I do respect what he's done. He is an interesting character every once in a while, or if he's going to try. So we're going to see if he is going to be interested in this or not. Is this going to be a one-off or not? But this is going to be Randy Orton's prominent back or win back. You saw him win on SmackDown against Jinder Mahal for the non-title. That was kind of good for him, but he needs a big pay-per-view win again. And he's going to get it against Rusev because he is the foreigner, and that automatically makes you a heel. So my pick is Randy Orton. I'm interested to see how you guys pick too.
I 100% agree with everything you said there, and that's why I was picking Randy Orton too.
Just a reminder, last year, Randy Orton was in the main event of SummerSlam against Brock Lesnar. Just a reminder, Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble, and Randy Orton won the WWE Championship. Wow, what a difference a year makes. He is now once again relegated to John Cena's sloppy seconds, and he is fighting Rusev, a guy who simply is not allowed to win on pay-per-view since his streak ended. Yeah, Orton wins. Orton won't care. The fans won't care. No one cares.
Does this get bumped to the pre-show, though?
No, because this is probably thank you for jobbing to Jinder Mahal. So he'll probably get to hit as many RKOs as he'd like. But yeah, this is
it does have a likelihood, though. All the matches, I think that this one would have a likelihood.
Has Randy Orton ever been bumped to the pre-show?
No.
No.
Well, yes.
Has he?
Hold on, trying to rethink again. No, he had not. He had he was the first of a show once, but not the
pre-show. Him and Sheamus?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. If they got bumped to pre-show or not, but they did not.
I don't see Randy Orton being bumped to pre-show. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I think Orton's going to win, too. We'll just sweep it. The next match we have AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship, and Shane McMahon, here comes the money, is going to be the ref. Aaron, I will let you talk about this first.
Yeah, so it's... I think that this is going to be probably the best match that they've had. The last match they had at the pay-per-view was definitely a letdown. It was one of their worst matches. And then we had the real match, you know, the following Tuesday. It's just been such a weird set of events for this feud. I hope that this is the last match. My expectation is that AJ wins here. However, though, obviously you're putting Shane in the match, which is trying to say that this is a bigger match. This is probably the final match. And Shane is somehow going to screw Kevin Owens over. And then that's going to set up probably a Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon feud that'll probably last for a couple of pay-per-view rounds before going to Survivor Series. And then maybe there'd be some tomfoolery with that. But my expectation is Shane McMahon basically helps AJ Styles win.
I completely agree, except for I'm going to say that this leads into another feud and maybe even possibly KO versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
So that's going to be a slow burn.
It's going to be a slow burn. It's going to be one of those things where he's going to go off, you know, Shane will go do his thing or something, but you're going to see a lot of things happen. I think you're going to see KO trying to get, you know, his title shots, but then, you know, he'll lose those, but it'll all be because, and according to KO, it'll all be Shane's fault. It'll always be Shane's fault and everything like this. And it'll lead to a big match between them, possibly at a WrestleMania. So I pick AJ to win on those purposes or principle right there. What about you, Roger?
So I agree with everything you guys are saying. The only thing that has me pausing for concern is it seems just a tad bit too obvious. Like, I feel like we've seen it so play out so in front of our face that we all see it coming. That part of me thinks, are they going to turn Shane? Is this going to be a situation where maybe Shane screws over AJ and he hasn't forgotten what he did to him before WrestleMania? And this has really been a long-term con and Kevin Owens has been playing him? Because to me, SmackDown has needed something that kind of like a kick in the butt. And if you were going to move into Survivor Series, the Shane McMahon being the heel and Daniel Bryan be the face GM, and now they're actually at odds, and then you have Kevin Owens as the captain of one team and AJ Styles as the captain of the other team, and you actually have some interesting storylines going forward where Shane is now kind of being like a mini tyrant like his father, I think you have something. Like, I think you could do something interesting. But I'm going to go AJ Styles wins. I'm just saying, I could see another scenario. This seems too obvious to be true. Having said that, I'm picking AJ Styles, and I hope I'm wrong. Nothing against AJ, because I love AJ. I just kind of want to see something different on SmackDown, because to me, they've been treading water since WrestleMania.
Actually, that's a good scenario. I hope that happens, but I feel that we're just going to get a good wrestling match out of these two guys. And I think that something will happen that, of course, Kevin Owens, I think it'll be a long-term feud, but I think that it's probably going to end up getting two Survivor Series where he picks his guys against Shane's guys, and they'll do something. I don't know what, but they'll do something. But yeah, I think AJ Styles will retain here. So, but it'll be a good match. I don't think it'll be their best match, but it'll be one of their good matches. And hopefully it's not one of those where we have to watch SmackDown to see the better match, you know, cause it's given away on free TV. All right. So the next match we have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roger's favorite champion, Jinder Mahal, for the title. Roger, would you like to speak about this?
As per my rule, I refuse to speak of the champion who shall not be named. So I pick Shinsuke Nakamura and defer the rest of my time to Doug.
Yes, more time for me. That's all I want to speak about. After watching what happened on SmackDown, I think that they're I don't know if SmackDown knows what they're doing.
This could have told you that 3 months ago. They don't know what they're doing.
I know. I don't want to jump on the hashtag fire Road Dogg, but it's starting to get to that point. This is going to be one of those things where I hope that and I pray that this will be the end of the jobber champion, and Nakamura will win. This is not how I would have this match going into it. I'm actually not even looking forward to this match anymore, thanks to the failed cash in by Corbin. I thought that brought an interesting concept to this match, but now I really do not care. And if Nakamura doesn't win, I might stop watching SmackDown because this is just getting sad. Nakamura to win to save SmackDown. What about you, Aaron?
I am actually in agreement. I have Nakamura. I think that with the way they've built him up, the fact that he beat John Cena, and we all expected John Cena to be facing Jinder for SummerSlam. This is where you pull the trigger. If they're going to put him in the title picture like this, you have to pull the trigger, in my opinion. Because if you do not, then he lost to a jobber. Because Nakamura is not an established star in the same way Randy Orton is or the same way John Cena is. Nakamura is an up-and-comer. So Nakamura loses to the jobber champion, basically. What's that say? That doesn't. You're not helping out your cause at all. Instead, you're basically saying Nakamura is not that good. So Nakamura, if he does not win here, and he can win by DQ even. That's not a big deal. They want to have the title stay on Jinder. But Nakamura needs to win here in some capacity. Now, I personally think that if he was going to win the title, him taking it off somebody that was big, like a Randy Orton, for example, would be a huge deal. Unfortunately, that's not the route that they went. So, you know, we're going to be going a different route. So, Andy, are you also on Nakamura bandwagon, or do you think Jinder is going to retain?
Okay, so I've been trying to remember the guy's name, but someone probably will know. Who is the violinist that does Nakamura's theme?
Oh, I can't remember his name now, but I know who you're talking about. The guy who comes out.
He signed He signed a Nike deal. I've been looking for his name, but I can't find it.
He just did something in Brooklyn to promote SummerSlam
too. See, that's why I believe the reason why he did it was that they're trying to push the Nakamura theme music more and more. I believe because of that I think that's tying into possibly Nakamura winning. Could be a swerve, but I truthfully believe, yes, Nakamura will be the new SmackDown champion. And I think it'll be a great match. Well, not really a great match, but Shinsuke, hopefully...
Lee England Jr.
Thank you. So I hope that Nakamura, takes his head off. Let's just put it that way, along with the Singh brothers. So, but yeah, I think... I think it'll be a feel good moment. Nakamura winning the championship and him walking out. And you guys are right. There's no reason for Nakamura to beat Cena and then lose. There's no reason why that should happen. So because of that, I do believe Nakamura is going to, he will definitely win this match. And let's move on to this will be the main event. I mean, that's pretty obvious at this point. We have Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Brock Lesnar going in a fatal four-way for the Universal title. Now, this match itself, I've been looking forward to, but there's they have a stipulation where if Brock Lesnar loses, he's gone from the WWE. Now, my feeling is that he is going to lose here, and I think that they've set it up to the point where I believe that Samoa Joe will walk out as champion. There's nothing that would make me think anything else besides that, because I think Paul Heyman is pushing for that. And I believe that Paul Heyman, I don't think he'll turn on Lesnar, but I think that he may help Joe in a weird way. Maybe not now, but maybe later down the road that Brock has taken some time off. I decided to help you out just to later turn on you at WrestleMania or something like that. But yeah. So in this case, I believe Samoa Joe will win it. Roger.
This is the match that I have to say I don't know. And I'm saying that as a good thing, because all four of these guys could walk out as champion. And I wouldn't be surprised based on the way they've been built. Having said that, I think Roman Reigns, as much as I detest him, they're still going to build him as the face. And to me, the face of your company wins at WrestleMania, not at SummerSlam. If he is the guy who's going to get his moment, especially with Cena now moving over to Raw, I think they're setting up Reigns Cena at WrestleMania. So I don't think he wins it now. I love Strowman. I could watch him throw office chairs to the end of time. One of the best spots I've ever seen in Monday Night Raw. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's the guy who wins it here, which means it leaves between Brock and Joe. And I said it when we first talked about it. Somebody's got to eat the pinfall here. It ain't going to be Roman. It ain't going to be Strowman. That leaves Lesnar and that leaves Joe. If Lesnar's leaving, I think you have Brock take the pinfall. I don't think Brock is leaving. And here's why. If he was going to leave, I don't think they would have said it. I think that has been a red herring the entire time. I think Brock Lesnar retains. I think it's a fantastic match. I think he pins Joe 15 to 20 minutes. And I think Brock then leaves, and we don't see him again until SummerSlam, in which he faces Strowman.
Survivor Series, you mean?
I'm sorry, yeah, Survivor Series. No, he's going to leave for a year and then come back and face Joe, which is actually plausible. That's the sad part.
Actually, I want to defer to Aaron first because I have this narrowed down to two people. And since Aaron and I have picked on the same person I know, every time so far, I want to hear what Aaron says first before I make my pick.
Here's the sad thing. I'm going to pick like literally right now. Like I've been like wrestling with this, you know, no pun intended, but I had Lesnar or Joe. I don't believe that Reigns, and I don't believe that Strowman, based on what Roger has said. I don't believe that either of those people are going to walk out. And I want to pick Samoa Joe, really. Like, I really want to pick Joe, but I agree. I mean, the thing I thought, like, they kept talking about, he's going to leave. Like, yeah, you're going to say that. But it makes me wonder, I don't know if he would lose the title here or even at Survivor Series. I almost wonder if they would move it up because No Mercy is a couple of months after that. Or I guess it's one full month after that. So, I mean, you could potentially have him wrestle again in a singles match. So, I mean, like, I have to go with Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Doug, are you?
Awesome. So I had been thinking about this for a while, and I've been trying to watch the main event of Raw for just to see whatever hint I can get at who would win. And I would have said 4 weeks ago that Joe would have won because he was the one that ate the pinfall to Roman Reigns in that three-way match between them. Then you had all this other stuff that goes on. And the last thing I remember from watching Raw this Monday, or at least the highlights from Raw this Monday, was the two people standing tall were Brock and Strowman. And that just makes me wonder even more. I know that Heyman is talking big about Joe behind the scenes. I know that they have talked a lot about Joe and how wonderful he's done and how they've never even imagined he would be this far. My want is Joe to win. However, I do not see this happening. With knowing that John Cena is going to be coming over to Raw, I'm going to go with Strowman. I think that this is the time that they put him on there. I know it's just one of those things. I think he's got so much momentum right now. And I think you have Cena come over, and I want to say that Joe is going to be the one that can eat the pin, and he's the one that can do it the best. And you can still have the Roman Reigns versus Joe to see who's the number one contender. You have Brock leave for a while. He can come back at WrestleMania and say, I never lost. I want my shot now. And you can have a big WrestleMania moment or something along those lines, or at Survivor Series or something else. He can still come back. He can go pout for a little bit and do all that thing. Or he could be one of those things. I mean, I could see them having him go away for a while, but then he's going to make that surprise return, run through the crowd, beat up somebody, and be back in the main event title. It'll be a great thing at that moment. But right now, I want to go. You got to go with your hot hand, and I think that's Strowman right now.
All right.
Wow.
Well, Doug, hold on. Before we move on, can we say something? And this is a testament to WWE. There's a Fatal 4-Way match that includes Roman Reigns, and not a one of us picked Roman Reigns. In a world in which Roman Reigns almost always wins a big match, They have built up Strowman, Joe, and Lesnar so well that we actually find it believable, if not more realistic, that Roman doesn't win. That is an impressive job. And we crap on them all the time. But they have done a good job for this SummerSlam of not making Roman look invincible. And if he were to win, I wouldn't be so angry, because it looks like everyone can win for a change. Do you see that, WWE? Just keep doing this.
Now, one of the things I do want to say, so obviously, Doug, now this is the match that will decide, you know, who between you and I, who will have more points. Theoretically.
Well, not necessarily. Theoretically, I mean, Joe could win or Reigns could win and we'd still tie.
Yeah. So, but hopefully one of them will win. Do you think, though, you think that Lesnar's going to leave and maybe train? Because I know that he has a potential match with John Jones. Do you think that this also is a negotiating tactic in a way where WWE would want to sign him for another 3 years?
The background information on the John Jones fight and the possible or potential fight for that, the only problem with it was that the theoretical time frame for that fight would be right around WrestleMania. WWE has already announced Brock Lesnar will be at WrestleMania. So I do not doubt that this is a, you know, and I think John Jones also said that he wants a WWE career after MMA. So this might be one of those things that they've said, hey, let's throw you in here, you know, do some little mixed promotion things. You promote this. Lesnar can go train. You guys can have your fight if you really want to. I know Lesnar wants to. So they can have their fight. It's not going to be around WrestleMania when originally thought. It's going to be somewhere down the line. But, you know, he's still got to get off his suspension and everything with UFC for testing positive for the drugs. We'll see how that goes. I don't know if Lesnar really has any more matches left in UFC or not. He has the hype. He will be a big buy. But to go up against a contender like Jon Jones, I don't know. But
a striker like Jon Jones, like that is his weakness.
Yeah, that's it's going to be a big, you know, I would see Jon Jones just wiping Brock. And I don't think the WWE wants that. I really don't think Brock needs that for his image either. So, you know, you could have a fight when Jon Jones gets out of MMA and you can kind of call it a, hey, look at this. We've got this, you know, the way too late fight like Pacquiao and Mayweather. But, well, yeah, it's an interesting feud. It's a Twitter feud or something along those lines. It's a propaganda feud and it's working. I mean, we're talking about it right now. It is working. So I see Brock going away for a while. I see them kind of hinting at that and everything like that. And it's a slow build or a, you know, let's see how this works out kind of thing in the future. But I don't think it has anything to do with what's really happening right now.
You know, I want to talk about something that happened on April 11th, 1999 in Tacoma, Washington at Spring Stampede. Everyone would have predicted that either Hulk Hogan or Sting would have won this four corners match. But instead, Randy Savage was a special guest referee and someone known as DDP won his first WCW heavyweight championship. There was no one in the world that picked DDP to win that match because he was just kind of there. What's to say that Roman Reigns isn't that guy? And we decided not to pick him.
Roman Reigns is already not established in DDP.
I'm sorry. No offense to DDP. I'm just using that as a scenario. Like, no one thought DDP would win, but he won and was a great champion, even though he only held it for a total of 29 days during his the three times he won it. But still, at least everyone respected him. But I'm just wondering if that's maybe what they're trying to do, because no one picked him. You guys said it earlier, the best. No one picked him. But which is very weird. But anyways, well, let's just thank our sponsor, Hostgator. Are you a blogger or podcast, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out Hostgator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. Hostgator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click scripting solves with a free stability, hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, off the mark, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out Hostgator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. So expectations this year, Doug.
I wish we would have had this show before Monday and Tuesday. I just the theme of the go home shows has seemed of, hey, did anybody notice we have 12 matches scheduled for SummerSlam? Maybe that's pushing it a little too much. Maybe we shouldn't have that many shows. What should we do? Hey, let's just give away free TV. You know, this is our second biggest pay-per-view. Why not have several of the matches already before we even have the pay-per-view? And for me, it was just poor timing. Everything was poor timing leading up to this. I was excited about this pay-per-view. I'm very excited for this Fatal 4-Way match that will main event for it, which will ultimately be the overall how I feel about the show is going to be this main event. So my expectations are low now. You took the Money in the Bank out of the men's first SmackDown. I also note that if you look at our pick-ems, we only disagree on three matches. Three matches out of 12. That means we all agree on 9 matches. Is this too predictable of a show? Maybe. Are they going to throw us some curveballs because it's too predictable? Probably, because it's WWE and that's what they like to do every once in a while. It makes no sense, but let's do, you know, all of a sudden gender wins. Why? Because it's too predictable. It's stupid stuff like that WWE is going to do, and it's going to make me mad. I have very low expectations for this pay-per-view due to the fact that there is no cash-in possibility for the men's. The women's one, I really don't care about ever since you had a man win it. So I really don't. I think it's almost too predictable. I think everybody sees everything that's going to happen. And again, it will come down to the main event. The main event will probably prove whether or not I am decent at the show or hate the show. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to probably give this a 4 out of 10 as a possibility for my expectations.
Yeah, it's funny. I agree with you almost like wholeheartedly, Doug. It's one of those where I had very high expectations prior to Monday and Tuesday, and it's just been completely dashed. And it's, you know, and looking at it too, SummerSlam it's a 4-hour long pay-per-view with an hour long pre-show. So really it's a 5-hour long
two-hour,
right?
Two-hour pre-show.
I think it's only an hour though of matches though. They'll do an hour of like the analysis, then an hour of matches. So, but either way, 5 to 6 hours, you know, for SummerSlam, and that's way too much. And this is the same thing I harped on as when it came to WrestleMania. And so I'm going to be disappointed. I'll just tell you right now, like NXT Brooklyn 3 is going to be way better than SummerSlam. You know, it is. And it's very unfortunate because there's matches that are on here that they could have pushed. You know, I to be quite honest, Randy Orton Rusev does not need to happen. That match is completely useless. It does not serve any purpose. They don't have any sort of blood feud going on. This is not a you know, blowout. This is a completely useless match, plain and simple. I would have, you know, even honestly, one of the women's matches I would have probably gotten rid of. The tag teams, at least you can say that the four tag teams that are going after titles are entertaining enough and they have enough storylines going. But, you know, there's so many matches on here that's like, no, get rid of. And you can have a 3-hour long, 3.5-hour long pay-per-view and have it be tight and good matches. And even honestly, Big Show, Big Cass, I understand why that match is on there. And I'm OK with it. I'm more OK with that than Randy Orton Rusev, because I understand that they're trying to push Big Cass. This will be him in one of his, you know, largest, in front of one of his largest crowds. Obviously other than WrestleMania, but this will be him by himself. And so I get it. I understand what they're doing here. But, you know, this should have been 9 matches. You know, that's what the card should be. It should be 9 matches and the 9 biggest matches for your second biggest show of the year. So
also no Intercontinental title match.
Yeah, and no IC title. Yeah. The Miz has done a fantastic job and you're rewarding him by keeping him off. Good job, WWE. Expectations now. I mean, I'm expecting very average. I'm not expecting good. I'm not expecting bad. It's going to be a C show, in my opinion. And this should be a B show, as it's SummerSlam. It should be at least a B, potential to be an A.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, The Miz is not on the show. The Hardy Boys aren't even on the show. They should be doing something. Dolph Ziggler, by the way, I guess, is doing something on Facebook, of all things. because it's like, what do we do with him? Let's put him on Facebook. So that's the problem I have with it. So all your titles should be shown on there. You could have the Miz Taraj take on the Hardys. There you go. They had a thing on Raw, so they should throw them on there. But the problem is 12 matches. If they do like the Big Show cast match and also Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt match, if they did those two a combined curtain to curtain 20 minutes, I see that, okay, you could have that extra match. But for the pre-show, you don't want the Hardys on the pre-show. And when you start running down the title, you know that the Cruiserweight title is going to be on the pre-show, even though it shouldn't be. But you can't put Cena or, I mean, realistically, going down the card, I just don't know who you do unless you do one of the women's matches. Or if you do Orton Rusev, because you can't do the other ones. It just doesn't make sense. But I think that there was a plan for this, and then all of a sudden they decided to change the plan because, you know, Vince has these weird ideas all the time. But overall, I think I was thinking 3 or 4 out of 10 this entire time, and I'm glad that you said 4 because at least I wasn't the only one thinking that. But overall, once 8 o'clock hits here, Central Time, I'm sorry, but I'm switching to Game of Thrones. But that's a different story. But yeah, this show is going to be okay, I guess. If not,
so
bad.
I've had a running theme, right? I've said missed opportunities. I've said it once and I've said it a million times. And this is the inverse of Great Balls of Fire. Great Balls of Fire was a show that I did not think was going to be any good. And then they hyped it fantastically and made me interested. And I remember looking forward to it. SummerSlam was a show. And I had said this, I think my disappointment of the year was the big two pay-per-views. They just failed to deliver. And going into this, I was like, this could be a good card. They may finally live up to it. And then Monday happened, like Doug said. And they gave away two of the big matches. And then Tuesday happened, which was like, oh, that's the worst thing you can possibly do to hype up SummerSlam? Hold my beer. Let's waste the entire point of Baron Corbin. Like, Baron Corbin didn't need a match in this because he literally could have interfered in the main event. Now he can't do that. So his match with Cena is useless. Orton's match with Rusev, totally useless. Do I really care about a Cruiserweight title rematch 6 days later? Not really. I just don't care. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt 2. Yeah, I'm glad that he's going to bring out the Demon. But like Doug said, that's something that should have been built to. This should be match number 2 4 weeks later. There's 3 or 4 matches that I care about on this. Like this is a card that I started out mediocre before this week. And to me, that is a massive, your go home show is supposed to hype me, not make me less interested. And on Monday and Tuesday, they failed. This card is not going to be that good. To be quite honest, I think we'll be talking about this as yet another disappointing SummerSlam. And we're talking about how NXT is much better. And we'll be like, AJ and Owens maybe stole the show. Maybe we got the champion that we deserve. And wow, that Fatal 4-Way is awesome. You know, at this point, I have lost all faith in WWE to even hype the show, let alone put on a good show. And that's a problem. And until they fix that, well, the numbers don't lie, as Ty Dillinger says.
Yeah, where's Ty at? Why don't they have something with him as well?
I mean, you mean Sami Zayn?
Or Ty or Sami Zayn. Why aren't they? Those guys aren't even on.
I mean, or Breezango?
Breezango, same thing. All guys. These are all people that are actually hot, and they should have been either showcased on SmackDown or you then, because otherwise why have certain things that they had on SmackDown? The whole cash in was stupid, but you know, that's something we'll talk about later. But I don't
very
know,
simply get rid of 3 matches and have a either SmackDown or Raw Battle Royal for the number one contender. Yeah. For the you know, the next pay-per-view, or you know, number one contender for the IC title or something, you know, like that's where you can have those people in a match. Very simple, you know, very simple. But instead, they're like, look, we got to get Cena in a match. We got to get Corbin. We got to get all these people in these matches. 12 matches. Really?
Yeah. And then also, which ones do you put on the pre-show? Because they're going to have to put at least
the Cruiserweight.
Well, that's,
you know, the Cruiserweight's going, yeah, to the pre-show. I could see Big Cass and Big Show going to the pre-show, to be honest. I really could.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to have a match where people get excited. That's the other thing. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they move the Raw tag titles to the pre-show, even though I don't think they should, but I think it wouldn't surprise me.
It also wouldn't surprise me if the women's SmackDown match goes to the pre-show, even with a cash-in. I could totally see that being pre-showed.
Was it WrestleMania that Dean Ambrose versus Miz went, yeah, to the pre-show?
Yep.
So Corbin.
But it was an Intercontinental title, and it should have been a much bigger event than what it was. So if they're going to try to promote, hey, you need to get this on the WWE Network, you could see one of their bigger matches actually going to the pre-show, and I could see the Raw tag team match going to the pre-show just to say, hey, look how great this match was. You should buy the network now and get it for free and get the rest of the show. But again, you don't have an Intercontinental title match. You don't have any – if you're going to have a Raw and SmackDown match event all at the same time, why not throw some inter-promotional match in between? Have – if you want Randy Orton to fight, have him fight somebody on Raw. Have somebody from Raw talk smack on SmackDown and have somebody – you know, there's many other ways that
you can – talking smack.
No talking smack. That's right. Anymore. Vince doesn't like talking smack, you know, because numbers and everything like that.
Numbers don't lie.
That's right. and honestly, I mean, I switched my shift so that I could watch this show. And after Monday and Tuesday, I'm thinking about switching it back because I don't like working day shift. And that 6 a.m. is way too early for me. But I wouldn't mind missing this pay-per-view and just catching it on the network after work or Monday before I go to work. So.
And that's sad.
And that's should be saying that with all the talent on this card, like this should be a fantastic, smart version of WrestleMania where we're saying we're talking about 3 to 4 matches that could be show stealers, like NXT could be, especially back how it was in their prime. Instead, we're going, how bad will this card suck? Like, I get it at WrestleMania to a point because it's a show that's for the casuals. It's about bringing in new fans. They cater to the part-timers and celebrities. SummerSlam, this is not a part-time show. You've had months to build to this, and this is all you can deliver? I mean, it's just like, where is the long, you know, to Doug's point, it's not even Fire Road Dog. It's Fire Creative. Like, outside of the main event, almost nothing has been built properly. AJ Owens are two of the best wrestlers in the world, and they've had one of the dumbest feuds I can ever remember. Count out and a busted finish. I'm sorry. I could book that better by just saying, hey, guys, go figure it out. Just go give me something good in the ring. I'll put a story around the fact that you two can wrestle. And instead, they did a botched finish. It was like, are they actively trying to screw things up? Which I already know because you gave it to a jobber. But it's like, this doesn't seem like a company that understands what they're doing past the next show. If even that, I mean, is this WCW where Bischoff is rewriting the show in the middle? It's mind baffling how you can have this much talent and put on these mediocre shows. If you gave this talent to NJPW, 5-star classics. If you gave this talent to Gabe from Ring of Honor back in the day, do you imagine what they would put on or Evolve or any of the people who have to work with so much less? And you let the spoiled WWE just have this collection of underutilized guys and do nothing with it. It is a shame sometimes.
And that's also, you brought up a good point. But the other thing is, it reminds me of what happened at the SmackDown pay-per-view, where originally AJ Styles was going to retain, but then they hotshot it over to Kevin Owens and then sent it back. I actually don't think it's creative's thing. I think Vince says this is what we're doing, period. And does not think outside the box anymore. I think he's very set in his ways, and I think that's what the real problem is. But that's a completely different topic. But right now, yes, you guys have made great points about they had 4 months to build this pay-per-view up, and they haven't done anything with it. I mean, it's been really bad. So overall, I just hope it's decent. Hopefully Game of Thrones is done so I can see some good matches, but I have a feeling they're gonna put it right at that time, so I have to wait to see who wins the main event, but that's a different story. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this special. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.